Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham Talk 1600. And you can call into the show, 734-822-1600. Well, it's Happy Armed Forces Day. Let's make sure we all take a little time out of our day to thank and appreciate our veterans and their families who have to do without them while they're in service. If it weren't for our veterans and our military, we would not be here today. So take a little time to think about that. Memorial Day is also coming up. So this is the time of year when we really should be every day, but go out of your way to thank a vet. If you see one at the airport or wherever, you know, do your thing. Thank them very much for their service. All right, so what we do on The Drift every Saturday is talk about the news that we've put on The Daily Drift. If you have not been to The Daily Drift, go there, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And if you find a story on the internet that I've missed, make sure you email that story to me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And you can also get into the Current newspaper. It's a community newspaper here in Southeast Michigan, and would love to have your comments to that as well. And if you want to advertise in it, give me a call, 734-629-6010. And we can get you advertising here or on the station here if you want. So make sure you're doing that. You can catch this show also at conservativeradionetwork.com Saturday and Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. So make sure you're checking that out. Before we get into the show, let's take care of a little business, the Rock Shop on Gottfredson Road. If you're looking to get your summer garden and landscaping done, go to the Rock Shop on Gottfredson Road, 734-455-5560. They have an open house today. Go out and see Marco, Helena, and the gang. They might still have some hot dogs running. I think they were ending about this time, but get out there and see them. If you're looking for wall products, stone wall products, pavers, boulders, statuary, make sure you get out and see the guys at the Rock Shop, 734-455-5560, or you can go to their website, www.rock-shop, that's shoppe.com. Okay, go to the Rock Shop. Great people out there. Lots of great place to just spend a few minutes walking around, check out the gardens and all that kind of stuff, and just good stuff. You'll go home with something, I guarantee it. All right, so big news this week, probably the biggest news, was another possible terror attack on a plane flying from Paris to Cairo, Egypt. And the plane, it was a Airbus 320A, as I recall, A320, and can hold like 220 people. But thankfully, there was only like 66 people, I think, including the crew on board, which is a good thing. So I think it was one of those red eyes and people didn't want to fly. Who would want to go to Cairo in this day and age? I wouldn't. But there's talk of black boxes maybe not being found, but maybe they are. I'm assuming they're getting close if that rumor is starting to spread. And we'll know for sure. They already have data. All modern planes now have data that constantly reflects up to the satellites and back to the home base and tells you what's going on with the plane. So they have that information. And as you just heard on the news there a minute ago, smoke-filled sensors were going off, and that means there was probably some kind of a fire or explosion or something going on in the airplane, and it was a new airplane. So my guess is it's not something that was a major catastrophic failure. I'm going to bet that it was indeed some type of a terror attack. But we'll have to wait and see. I could be wrong. And people got on Donald Trump for saying first thing in the morning when it happened that it was terror again. And Hillary Clinton, I think, took about 6 hours to figure out before she said it sounded like terror as well. But it happens and will continue to happen. And I think it shows that this war on terror is not really being won at this point. In Europe, they're facing some severe problems. If you go to thedailydrift.com, I normally put stories from Europe on there about refugee camps being burned and people committing crimes and that sort of thing. So you can see it. This is a very, very serious problem, and people need to take it seriously. When we talk about a ban on Muslim immigration, It's not talking about banning Muslims from coming here for business, or it's not talking about throwing Muslims who are here out of the country. You know, if you're a good citizen here and you are a citizen here, you have rights. And Donald Trump and none of the other candidates are talking about throwing anybody out of the country that's here legally and is doing the right thing. We're talking about a ban on Muslim immigration, which would be basically refugees that are unvetted coming from the Middle East or any other country where there's problems, Somalia or wherever. And we're just throwing them into the country right now. There was a report out this last week. 22% of Somalian refugees coming into Minnesota have tuberculosis. TB. Widespread and growing here in the United States because of unvetted, unchecked immigration. And this is, it's the government's job to protect us from these kinds of things, right? How do we allow this to keep happening? And that's why it's a major issue. Besides the economy, the big issue is immigration. And they're tied together. Like we've talked about this so many times on the show. You can't bring in a million legal immigrants a year and expect the job market to get any better because you're flooding the market with cheaper labor. These H-1B visas, you know, it's not just the low-skilled jobs anymore. Now they want to bring in H-1B visa guys from India or wherever who will work for $20,000 or $30,000 less than a guy here. Facebook's following. That's that Mark Zuckerberg fella. He's got all the money in the world, and yet he wants to save a couple bucks by bringing tech people from India so he can lay off his American people because they make too much money. Well, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. He met this week with Glenn Beck and some other faux conservatives, as I would call them, trying to say. And if you listen to Glenn Beck, I'm sorry, I know he's on the station and all, but I don't know where Glenn's coming from. It's absolutely insane. You can hate Trump all you want, but you know what? We're hiring a guy who said he's going to build a wall, improve the military, take care of our vets. Stop TPP, which is throwing our jobs offshore and our manufacturing capabilities offshore. Yes, I'm a big Donald Trump supporter. So, yes, if you want to call me the Trump show and call me a fascist for talking about Donald Trump, well, go ahead and knock your socks off. You know, you can vote in the primary, and we did here in Michigan, your conscience. But when it comes down to, I was talking to Linda before the show about this. You vote your conscience in the primary, but in the end, in November, you have to vote for what's best for the country. That's what you have to do. All right, let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Yes, how you doing? Obviously, you're a total Nazi.
Of course I am.
Yeah.
Of course I am,
well,
Jimmy.
Good for you. Good for you, Kyle. No, what I actually called about is you mentioned Memorial Day coming up, today's Armed Forces Day, and I spent the entire morning replacing the flags at Oak Grove Cemetery in Manchester. My dad and I and my family, we do it every year. My dad takes care of about 11 cemeteries in the area. And the history, when you start looking at, you know, a lot of them are World War II, Vietnam era people, and you see a few people from the Persian Gulf and what have you, but you know, there is a gentleman in Manchester that died in 1825. He actually served in the Revolutionary War. His name is Ebenezer Root. And when you think about that, you know, this man was buried there in 1825 in Manchester. What kind of a town was Manchester in 1825?
Probably a two-horse, one-house town, man, back then. Gosh knows. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, when he died, he was probably half the population. But it's just, you know, you see a lot of GARs, and, you know, a lot of the flag holders are in disarray. I mean, they're all cast iron or broken. We are replacing them slowly, but, you know, there's no money to do it, so we just do it, you know, slowly but surely, but we get it done.
Well, Jimmy, that's really worthwhile. You know what? Why don't you let's get together on that and we'll see if we can raise some money. I'll put a show up. We can do a show to raise some money, you know, for that. Try and get a little something going so we can raise some money for those. That's one thing I never got the chance to serve in the military and I regret it to this day. But I have the greatest love and appreciation for all those guys. If we can do anything to help with that, because these kind of stories bring a tear to my eye, it really does. So I'm glad you guys do that. That's awesome.
And especially when you think about somebody like Ebenezer Root that you know probably came here. He was 75 years old when he died. Died in 1825. So that means he was born what about 1750, 1751, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have been born in another country, brought here from another country. Then winds up fighting at 30 some years old in our. You know, for independence, and then he gets sick of what's going on in Massachusetts, Connecticut, or wherever he was from, South Carolina, wherever, and he keeps moving west.
Yeah.
Now, that's determination.
Yeah, that's a crazy frontiersman there, isn't it? You know, he probably fought Indians, too, coming this far, you know? That's crazy.
Or he got along with them, one or the other.
Or got along with them, yeah, there you go.
You know?
Gutsy, that's all you can say. That was America at its best, really, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not doing this to blow my own horn. I'm just trying to point out that, you know, it's very interesting when you start looking at these graves and you read on them, you know, what divisions they were in and what, you know, when it says Michigan Infantry or Illinois Infantry or Ohio Infantry, New York Cavalry, whatever, that was the militia back then. That was us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was not, there was no standing army. At the time, very small. And so when we fought in the Civil War, they had to rely on, you know, people like you and me. Yeah, that's what they had. And it's just so, it strikes you. It makes you understand what it means to live here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had, I'll tell you, I had a haircut the other day at Ted's Barbershop up in Whitmore Lake, a little plug there. And Ted handed me a copy of a letter from a friend of his whose brother had stormed the beaches at Normandy. And it was a letter written within hours after he found a place to be safe and the initial battle on the beaches was over. And when I read it, It was like straight out of Saving Private Ryan. You know, the number of guys that died coming off the same landing craft that he did was just astounding. He was never the same. And it made me think. He goes, you know, Memorial Day is coming on, and we really need to take a serious look at how we treat our veterans. You know, and that's one of the things I like about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's not going to do anything to change how we treat our vets. You know, our veterans should be, if they can't get into a VA hospital, they should be able to take their card and go right to the closest hospital and get treatment. You know,
absolutely.
I don't care what it costs. That is an absolute must. Every veteran in this country should be able to walk into a hospital, get the immediate treatment that he needs, and have the bill. And you know what? Send a bill to me for crying out loud. We need to take care of our veterans. It just irritates me that we still have vets, even after this Arizona thing and everything else. There are still guys on waiting lists. There are still problems and scandals going on, and nobody's fixing it. You know,
we owe them that.
We do owe them that.
We owe them that. And it's just like I'll say this, and then I'll get off the air so somebody else can get on. But there was a woman up there that was watering some flowers and taking care of a grave up there, and she thanked us.
Yeah.
And my dad and I both said, at the exact same time, we were like, hey, don't thank us. Thank them.
Yep. Yeah.
And my dad served. You know, my dad did 23 years in the military and three tours in Vietnam. So, I mean, he's a disabled vet and all this and that, and he should be thanked. But I never serve, so, but I do service. You know, we try to go out and do the best we can for the Wounded Warriors projects, and put the flags on the cemeteries. We've been doing that for about 15 years now, and I'm glad that we do it.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, thanks, Jimmy, for the call, and I appreciate what you're doing. And let's just remind folks, hey, if nothing else, maybe walk into your local VFW hall and introduce yourself, drop some money on the bar, and buy a round for the guys, whatever, and just thank them, you know, if it's Memorial Day comes close, you know?
go to the parades on Monday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Support your guys. Stand up and
elbow people that don't take their hat off when the flag goes by. You know? Let people know patriotism means something.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. You too. All right, let's take a call from Ken in Livonia. Ken, you want to talk about Islamic terror?
Yeah, I just want to address once again Islamic terror. There's people out there that want to blame Donald Trump as far as being a catalyst for violence against us. But I think that one thing that has to be addressed, those that are devout, faithful followers of Islam, of Muhammad, they've been trying to kill the rest of us for 1,400 years.
Yep.
They don't need any new reasons for violence. We have to look at our society today. We live in a society that says it's okay to murder babies. It's okay if you're homosexual to have rights. We live in a society that says that same-sex marriage is okay. I would say that our society, and it's a liberal agenda that's guilty for promoting this violence.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? It's what we've been teaching in school. It's what we've been allowing to be on our televisions, I guess. You're right. We've crafted this world, you know, and we're responsible for it. And it's a shame, man. I mean, I even look at my own kids, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not as tough on my kids as my dad was on me. I try to be, but I'm not. And I'm sure the school system, I always check my kids' schoolwork and ask them what was going on in school, because I hear stories. So far, my kid has not come home with any horror story, but I hear tons of horror stories from other parents whose kids are being given this liberal progressive agenda at their schools. And I'm like, man, I would be in that teacher's office and just screaming bloody murder. One guy, his daughter comes home and is always talking about how bad Donald Trump is and how good Hillary is. And I'm like, that I would not put up with coming from the school. That's not the school's place. You want to give a little equal time to both, that's fine. But don't be pushing the agenda of a Hillary Clinton or a Democratic progressive agenda at the school system. We've had enough of that. That's why the country is in such bad shape as it is.
Well, one thing I look at is the fact that there again, now I understand that the Muslims, there again, this goes back for 1,400 years. They want to exterminate anyone that's not a Muslim. But our liberal society, what we see promoted by the Democrats and the liberals in our world, that's not helping anything.
No, it's not. We need to be tough. We need to be strong. We need to be common sense driven. And I don't think that is what we promote in this society. We're so politically correct and so afraid of offending anybody that we're just we're committing cultural suicide. And it's worse than that, because it's going to be really suicide if we keep allowing things to happen here like it's happening in Germany and in Western Europe.
Well, I talked to a family member of mine, a female, and she told me the advice that she's given her little daughters. She told me that if you are in the restroom and you come across a male, without thinking, you kick him in the cojones. She said that you have to realize the fact that a normal man is not going to use the female restroom.
Yeah, and Target's already seeing the backlash of that, and we've already seen two or three stories come out about these perverts who are using the excuse that they don't feel like a man and they should be able to use the woman's restroom, going into the woman's restroom. And God forbid, I'll lay odds at Target, if an employee sees a man going into the woman's restroom, he's probably not allowed to say anything, right?
Well, from what I hear, yeah. Target, which I think has made a big mistake, is signed with the perverts. That Target thinks it's okay for a man to go and use the woman's restroom. And, well, when I look at this, and from what my relative has said to me, women should not look at this peacefully. They should not sit down and take this as something that they're allowed to go along with. Perverts there again, perverts are the ones that are going to use the women's restroom, not normal men. And so women, this is self-defense. So if women walk into the restroom, they see a guy, kick him in the cojones, scream, hey, he's come after me, he's threatened me.
Yeah, or at least get out and then go tell the manager and make and say, you know what, until you fix this problem, I'm not shopping here anymore. I think that's what we all need to do. So I think a boycott in this instance is right. I would not let my daughter go into a bathroom at Target. I haven't shopped there in a long time anyways, but I certainly wouldn't let my daughter go into a Target, or I'd be sitting right outside the door waiting for her, you know, listening.
Well, it's not only Target now. I know of a restaurant in the Westland community. I'm friends with the owner, and they had a man come in just recently in the restroom. A woman customer came out of the stall, and as she came out, so did a guy. And so this is not just Target. This is affecting other businesses as well. And it's because the Obama administration, what they've done is they've told businesses, we will defend the pervert. You know, so a pervert can go into a restaurant or a pervert can go into another business, use the woman's restroom, and sue that business, probably win.
Yeah, well, that's the transformation of America. You know, that's what he's done. He kept one promise. He's transformed us, Ken. Well, great. Let me let you go, Ken. I've got another call I got to get in here. I appreciate the call.
You take care.
All right, you too. Let's take a call from Jenny, who's been waiting patiently. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Your show was great last week, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And also, I haven't listened to Mark Levin in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Yeah, because he's being a baby. He doesn't understand, and I haven't listened to Glenn Beck in a long time, but I've heard how crazy he's getting. My point is, all right, I was a cruise person for a while anyway, until you got kind of nuts. But anyhow, you know what? We have to keep on going, and we need to vote for Trump because, you know, he may not be the perfect person, but doggone it, he's better than anything else we got.
Yeah, it's exactly, Jenny. You know, if I had to vote for Cruz ahead, he won, or if he still comes out, and that's why I would tell people, there's still, Donald Trump doesn't have his 1237 yet, so people in Oregon did their voting, but California, I think, is June 7th. We've got to get people out and finish this, and let's just get on it. And I'm aggravated with Paul Ryan not stepping up. I'm aggravated with any of the candidates who are no longer supporting Donald Trump, because you know what?
You guys know
what is best for America, and that's it. This is what we got. You may not like him. He may not be as conservative as you want. You may think he's a liar, but you know what? You know for a fact Hillary Clinton is a liar. So I'll take the guy who may or may not be a liar versus a woman who I know is a criminal and a liar. 100% certainty that...
Amen. These people that are never Trumpers, they're not... Somebody else said this. I'm going to say it. They're not thinking about the country. They're thinking about themselves and that they didn't get their way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know what? Put your pride back into your wallet behind your $5 bill, because that's where it belongs. You know
there
what I mean?
Go. Okay.
Get your pride and put it away and vote Trump. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page there, Jenny.
Well, we were never on the wrong opposite page. No way, because third party isn't going to get it, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way I would have done a third party is if shenanigans had gone on and Bernie had started his fourth party, and that could still happen as well. I feel bad for the Democrats because, you know what, those of you who support Bernie Sanders, I understand why you support him. I don't agree with you, but you know what? I believe Bernie is an honest, ignorant socialist. You know what I mean? I think he honestly believes in what he believes, but I don't believe he's a lying, conniving SOB. I think he's just an ignorant dreamer. You know what I mean? He thinks that socialism will work, and we all know that it won't.
No, that's right. But at least he's honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only good thing about it. But anyway, you got to look out for what they don't say.
Right, right. Okay, well, thanks, Jenny. I appreciate the phone call.
Uh-huh.
All right, take care. Derek, do we have enough time to get Ed on or no? How much time we got? No, we don't. Ed, you're going to have to hang on the line until after the break. I didn't want to even get into the Trump thing, but we were going to talk about some of the endorsements that Trump did pick up this week. And we will pick that up at the end of the break. So we'll see you on the other side.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. There's confirmation that smoke was reported in several locations on the Egypt Air Flight 804 before it crashed.
Despite some early reports today, no, there have been no sightings of the two black box voice and data recorders, which could explain so much.
Fox's Greg Palcott. Jesse Oliveri, the man who was shot outside the White House yesterday, has no known connection to terrorism. This according to law enforcement officials.
The source says that police did search Oliveri's car. They found a significant amount of ammunition. That's how they classified it. They also said that they found some other concerning evidence.
Tisha Lewis of Fox TV affiliate WTTG and the vice president telling the West Point graduating class that greater diversity, including more women and openly gay soldiers, will make the country's armed forces stronger. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
You'll want to join the Washtenaw Wanderers for a fun-filled 5K or 10K walk around Chelsea on Saturday, June 18th. Meet at the Chelsea District Library, 221 South Main Street in Chelsea, a few minutes before 10 a.m. to register. The Washtenaw Wanderers is a member of the American Volk Sporting Association, which is a national sporting organization. A $3 donation is encouraged to pay for materials, or you may walk for free. For more information, visit the Facebook page Washtenaw Wanderers Volk Sporting Walking Club. In order to accomplish the Washtenaw County Conservation District's mission of educating and assisting the people of the county with the conservation and management of their natural resources, the issues and concerns related to those natural resources need to be identified. Every 5 years, the district conducts an assessment for this purpose. The last assessment was conducted in 2011, so it's time for the new one. The link to the survey is online at surveymonkey.com. The deadline for completing the survey is June 30th. To learn more, visit WashtenawCD.org or you can call 734-761-6721, extension 5. Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net. To review these events and others, you can always visit WHAM's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thanks for tuning in to Catch the Drift. Glad to have you back. And before we get into it, let's take care of a little business. Nowatzki Truck and Trailer, 6900 Whitmore Lake Road, 734-995-9600. All of your shopping and fuel needs under one roof. They are open 24-7. With a holiday coming, you know some stores close. You're up in that Whitmore Lake, Ann Arbor, Brighton area. You need to get something because everything else is closed. Go to Nowatzki Truck and Trailer. They do DOT inspections for $25. They got oil change specials for trucks and cars, competitive fuel pricing, and it's just a great place for all your fuel and shopping needs. 734-995-9600. and they are looking to do some hiring. They're in great need of cashiers right now, and I don't know exactly how many, but they said they need quite a few. So if you're looking to get a job, or you know someone that needs a job, part-time, full-time, whatever, get up there and go see them, 734-995-9600. Okay, let's get back into the meet. We have Ed, who's been waiting patiently. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, is this the Trump show?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Well, now, for today's opposing point of view.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out, Ed. You and I have this discussion all the time, but yeah, go ahead. Right, have you changed your mind? You said you were going to wait until you saw the SCOTUS picks, and Trump put out his big list of 11 people, I think, who SCOTUS, two of them from Michigan, by the way. Did you even look at them?
I'm sorry, man. I'm going to have to hang up. I have a bad connection here. I apologize. Can you hear me clearly?
But you sound better, Ed, than you've ever sounded in your life.
Well, actually, you just got better. Hey, so anyways, the NRA endorsement?
Yes.
You got to remember, the NRA regularly endorsed John Dingell, you know?
Oh, that's so great. But you know what, Ed? They've never endorsed a Republican presidential candidate before the convention. So there you go. One tit for tat. Here we go. Hey, well, you know what? John Dingell, yes, but John Dingell was good on the Second Amendment. You got to be honest there. He never did anything to hurt gun rights. I will say that about John Dingell because I grew up in a community that was represented by him. And it wasn't until I got older and started understanding, you know, some of his other social issues that were bad. But John Dingell was pretty strong on the Second Amendment.
Well, that's why they endorsed him. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, if that's your single issue, and that's fine. That's not my single issue.
Okay, what is your issue, Ed? Tell me.
Actually, you know what? I don't want to argue with you. You know, all I'm saying is that...
That's what you called, really, Ed. You're supposed to argue with me.
No, it's not why I called. I called to say hi. That's why I called.
Well, doggone it, Ed. It's always good to hear from you. I know we banter like this all the time,
frankly,
on Facebook. But
we've got till November. One thing I'd say to Jenny, and anybody else who's listening, and it's kind of a response to Jenny, and it's not a shot at Jenny. Don't take me wrong, Jenny, but we have until November to make a vote. So I don't have to endorse anybody right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what's going to happen till November. So if I'm not comfortable with Trump, I'll wait and see what happens. And come November, I'll probably pull the lever for Trump rather than Hillary.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody is pushing you, Ed, to jump on the bandwagon right now. I'd love to see you jump on the bandwagon.
Oh,
but you'd
be surprised.
He's got plenty.
You're on Facebook.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for people to get comfortable, and I think Trump will actually do that. I think you're seeing between those SCOTUS picks, which were even Charles Krauthammer, one of his biggest critics. In fact, one of the people he picked was a guy in Texas, a judge in Texas, who said all kinds of nasty things on social media about Donald Trump. And yet Trump looked past that and said, that guy, or his advisor said, that guy's a good pick. Let's put him on the list. And so I think that's what you're going to see. When I think Trump's a businessman. He's not going to take all this stuff personally. He's going to pick the best people for the job. And that's what I think we need to do as voters. You don't have to particularly like a person. You need to pick the person who's going to do the job. You may not like him. But if he's going to do the job and get those issues that are what I consider survival issues, that's why I'm with Trump. I know he's not perfect. I know I don't agree with him on everything. And I know he's not the most conservative guy out there. But, you know, on the issues that I like, I'm comfortable. I've made my decision, I think, as you know. And I hope and feel that between now and November, you two will probably feel that way. Because you're a common sense guy.
Well, and thank you. I appreciate that. And so are you. And that's why we can talk. As far as the one thing that's occurred to me, and I mentioned it to Linda on her show a couple weeks ago, was the whole thing about Ryan and Ryan wanting to talk to Trump and not jumping on the bandwagon endorsing him. And I think that was Trump should have recognized a negotiation when he saw one. And maybe he did.
Oh, he did.
But the thing is, Ryan, like myself, is saying, sell me. And if you hold out like I'm doing, and I'm, you know, I don't think Trump's waiting for my vote in particular, but he's waiting for votes of people like me. So, yeah. Or maybe he's not. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Us.
You know, the difference.
Get us to buy in.
Yeah.
Give us the SCOTUS picks like he did. Now let's move on to a couple other things.
Yep.
You said some other things. What are those? And we have a process that we can go through. And that's, so it's a negotiating tactic on the behalf of us holdouts. Like I said, I'm not a never Trump. I'm a not Trump now.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the way it is. Between Ryan, though, and Trump, I think there are some issues that they're not going to meet, because Ryan's for TPP, which will offshore jobs and our manufacturing capability. And I think a lot of Republicans are jumping on that TPP thing the same way. Trump's not for that. Trump, and that's why he's getting Democratic and blue-collar guys coming in, because you know what? They want to keep jobs and manufacturing here. For our own survival, we need to keep manufacturing capabilities, heavy industry, here in the United States of America. We can't be offshoring that. You're not going to call China to give you a tank when you're at war with China. Or Russia, or anywhere else. Manufacturing and heavy industry needs to stay here in the country. And if that means we got to have unfree trade to do that, then we need to.
You're talking to a guy who's worked for two corporations recently who were training people in their Michigan facilities to set up plants in Mexico.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hear you. Yep. Well, thanks, Ed. I appreciate the call. I know you'll do the right thing come fall. And call in again and keep us updated on your status, because I want to know. It's important to me.
Have a great weekend.
Bye. You too, bud. We'll see you. Let's take a call from Walter, who's been waiting patiently. Walter from Belleville. Well, how you doing, Walter?
Hey, man. Looks like you got all the typical people calling you.
We've got the regulars. we got the regulars in stock today.
Yeah, man, that's what it seems like, one after another.
Yes.
And by the way, they are great Americans. Ed is a great American, a great man of God. I know him personally. I really appreciate him and all the other callers, man, called us before me. I was going to talk about, first of all, Hillary Clinton. She got her audacity or the nerve to be getting on national TV with her lying ways, talking about Donald Trump wants to ban all Muslims.
Which is a lie.
She has got to be the most serial liar I ever heard.
Yeah, Trump's words were a ban on Muslim immigration until we know what the hell is going on. That's what he said, and that's Muslim immigration. He's not saying ban Muslims from coming here on business, or ban Muslims, or throw Muslims out of the country, or anything else. That's, once again, the left distorting the words and trying to use this ginning up of people to get emotions involved in your decision-making process. That's not what Donald Trump said, and that's not what Donald Trump's going to do. Listen, we all know that you shouldn't have any refugees from the Middle East coming here if they're not properly vetted. And they say normally it takes 18 months to do that. Well, Barack Obama administration just knocked it down to 3 months. How are you going to vet people in 3 months? Tell me, Walter, who do you call in Syria to get a background check on somebody? Do you know?
Right. But I tell you what, it's all, if you really sum it all up, their lies is about keeping the Democrats in power, recruiting new Democrats, including the Muslims who can't stand, especially black Americans, they can't stand. Don't want you touching their hands when you go to their mobile gas stations and their party stores. Address you by the name of, what's up, boss, which I heard has a slave connotation to it. These same clowns that this is what I was going to talk about. The moderate Muslims, I know I hear you talk about it sometimes. I mean, I give you guys that about moderate Muslims, moderate.
There are some. I mean, we always, you know, people want to paint that broad brush. There are, and I'll give you an example right now of a guy that's a follower of mine on Twitter, and I follow him. He said this morning, listen to this. This affected me pretty deeply. He said, as a Muslim, I will stand with the Christians at the battlefield. I want no part of Sharia law. I'll let my Lord decide my fate hereafter. That's a guy who loves America, doesn't believe in Sharia, doesn't believe in putting his religion over his love of America. You know, and that's, for me, pretty incredible that there are, and I'm sure he's not the only one. You know what I mean?
I think he's the exception to the rule, and the rule I'm talking about is, I was looking at ABN, where he's a former Muslim, so they become Christians, they tell it like it is. If you talk to one of those guys that was a radical Muslim, has converted to Christianity, they will tell you flat out, do not let not one Muslim join the military. They know them better than we do, they know them doctrinally and everything else philosophically. And also, have you heard this? If you ask the same martyred Muslim, even the nice Muslims in this country, Dearborn and Stanton and the rest of the places, ask them, are they martyred? Yeah, someone probably tell you, lied through their rotten teeth and say they are. But those same ones, you ask the same so-called martyred Muslims, what do they do? Israel need to be annihilated. I could have sworn I heard this ex-Muslim said that 100% of them in unison said, yes, they need to be annihilated, including the nice Muslims, the moderate ones. And if you stand that way against Israel, you're lying through your teeth talking about you're a moderate Muslim here in America.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Anyone that has those kind of thoughts is not a moderate Muslim by any chance. And the problem is, you never really know. I mean, Islam is not just a religion. It's a cultural, political organization, you know. It's something that's designed to grow and expand, and they'll do whatever they have to do that. You know, so that the taqiyya, I think, is one of the things they call it. It's perfectly okay to lie to your enemy, and I think you see that all the time. So it's something you got to be careful with. It's a culture that does not fit with Western values. And until there's a big reformation within Islam and there's a group of people that can go to the point where they accept Western values and our culture as being fit for survival and can live with them, then you're always going to have this war because that's what it is. It's a cultural war. And right now in Western Europe, they're losing.
Let them assimilate among us, and they still ain't proven that. Yeah. They're hanging out with each other. And I guarantee you go to Wendy's, if it has not changed in the last few years ago, every now and then when I was sure of it, Wendy's on Michigan Avenue in Ipsy, you see them those Somalians who look like the average black American with processed hair, by the way. You know, we got the nappy hair, but they got the processed hair. Sometimes they be sitting right there at Wendy's, and their little tribe ain't got nothing to do with the people that's coming up in there, the Americans, but they sitting off talking that crap, that Arabic stuff. They might be plotting some crap right then. We can't let you get an interpreter in there to understand what they're talking about. I don't trust them with Somalians either. I don't care how black American do it. They look. They're Muslims. And I think I have a little fun with that one. But I know you with me. You know, I'm either black or white, man. Nothing in between.
You know, you and me are brothers no matter what. Well, thanks, Walt. I appreciate the call, man.
All right.
Take care. Let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is the fascist supporter of Donald Trump. And I'm so happy to see that some of the Cruz lovers that were so thought that Mr. Cruz was such a perfect candidate are finally starting to maybe perhaps see the light. You know, for anybody that has an angst against Donald Trump, just take a look at the fact that the Democrats are going nuts right now because of his 11 SCOTUS selections.
They're
going bananas.
Yeah. I mean, Charles Krauthammer, for me, is the guy he's probably the biggest political pundit that I follow, and I disagree with him a lot lately.
Krauthammer is a jerk.
Yeah, and he said those picks were pretty big, and he liked them, you know? Yeah. So those were good conservative SCOTUS picks. And when you get the Second Amendment question and the support of the NRA, you know what? So there's two issues I think have been solved now, and people should be able to look and say, all right, I'm comfortable with those two. As Ed said, let's look at what else is coming down the pipe, and we'll see. I'm not pushing anybody. You know what? There is plenty of time before November, but at some point you need to make a decision because come November – there's going to be two choices there. You can forget about all those third party, Constitution, U.S. party, whatever. It's going to be Hillary Clinton, which is another 4 years of Barack Obama or worse, or Donald Trump, who hopefully, and from what I've seen and what he's saying, is going to be better. I'm going with the better. It's that simple.
And the simple fact is Donald Trump could not be any worse than what we have in the White House today or what the Democrats have on their ticket for the White House in Hillary Clinton. So from the standpoint of who is good for this country? Obama out, Hillary out, and Donald Trump in. But
yep.
Here's the thing. You know, people wonder, people ask me, where do you think Cruz lost his election? I'll tell you where he lost it. It wasn't in Indiana. It was in Wisconsin. Do you remember how gleeful he was and how he was rubbing it in and how he and his buddy Glenn Beck, and I can tell you something right now, I agree with Jenny, Glenn Beck is an idiot.
I can't listen to them anymore.
I don't listen to Wham anymore. Believe me, I'm at the point of turning it off from 6 until noon in the mornings, because Wham has got two guys on there. They've got this guy Hewitt, who thinks nothing but about himself. I mean, he's the greatest thing that's ever come down the road. And Glenn Beck is a total moron. You know, people in Wisconsin were telling me, you know, that Beck was in Wisconsin and he was making a total ass of himself. And what he was doing, and this was later seen by people in Indiana and West Virginia and other states, he stuck his face into a bowl of cream corn. And then he stands up and he says, "Do I look like Donald Trump?" This is the guy that's pushing Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
This is the guy that Ted Cruz is on his show constantly. But here was the thing. Cruz lost the election. He lost his momentum when he started to think that I won Wisconsin. That was the big banana. That was it. And I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to stop him, and it's going to go to the convention. Wrong. And where is Ted Cruz today?
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet. And,
now,
and
you know, if you've lost, and I don't think anything that Donald Trump did to him was wrong. This is war. This is a battle. The man doesn't have the gumption to come up and say, "Hey, you beat me fair and square." Donald Trump didn't throw him out of the race. Ted Cruz stepped out of the race.
Yeah. Well, there's still time for Ted to come around, and he may or may not. I don't think it matters at this point.
No.
I think he's become irrelevant. I'm not sure he's going to be able to do himself any favors in the Senate either to finish out his term there. But, you know, it's irrelevant, I think, at this point. The momentum is there. I have no doubt between the remaining primaries left that Trump will get his 1237, and he's going to be the nominee. So your choice is, do we support him or not?
Well, here's the problem for Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz politically basically is dead. There is nowhere for him to go. He had an opportunity. He had a great opportunity. If he'd have swallowed his pride and swallowed his ambition and said, gone to Trump and said, "Look, rather than us killing each other, why don't we unite? You run for the presidency, I'll be your vice president." He would have been set for the next 16 years.
Yeah.
But he was too prideful. And as far as I'm concerned, I hope people like Ed come along and they vote. You know, if they go ahead and they vote for some guy named Gary Johnson or some guy named Joe Blow, you know, in some godforsaken party, you're basically handing it over to Hillary Clinton. And don't come crying on the radio later on if she's the president of the United States and one of your votes happened to be a vote that put her into the White House. Don't come crying on the radio saying, "Oh, we got to do something." You have an opportunity.
Yeah.
The same thing goes, like, if you remember when Romney was running. Ken from Livonia was all over the radios saying, "I can't vote for the guy because he's a Mormon." What did you get? You got Barack Obama.
Yep.
And then you can bitch about it for the next 4 or 8 years. So look at it from realistic. Donald Trump, okay, he's given you what you want for the Supreme Court, for everybody that's for rightful life and protection of the Second Amendment and all and the Constitution. He's given you 11 people that are going to sit on that bench. One of them is going to sit on that bench and be the fifth vote. And if Donald Trump is president of the United States, he may be able to put another one or two of those people that he's got on the list into the Supreme Court. And then you've basically told the Democrats, go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Great points. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. All right, so there we go. A lot of good points why, but we've got time. Like I said, I am not pushing people to just jump on the Trump bandwagon. That's something you have to do at your own pace. But let's really talk about Hillary Clinton. Let's drop down, Derek. I want to talk about some flip-flops and lies that we've been getting from Hillary Clinton. Now, she's out there, and it's a constant batter of lies. And on the Daily Drift, you'll see a YouTube video, 13 minutes long, of Hillary flip-flopping or lies. I don't care what you call them. She is a consummate liar. She panders and panders. Let's go with track 3, and this is on Hillary's core values. You got that one ready, Derek? All right, let's play that.
Just in July, New Hampshire, you told the crowd you, quote, take a backseat to no one when it comes to progressive values.
I take a backseat to no one when you look at my record and standing up and fighting for progressive values.
Last month in Ohio, you said you plead guilty to, quote, being kind of moderate and center. Do you change your political identity based on who you're talking to?
No. I think that, like most people that I know, I have a range of views, but they are rooted in my values and my experience.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
Just for the record, are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm a progressive.
Okay. So which are you today, anyways, Hillary, or at this very moment? This is a woman. She's the complete chameleon of politics. She'll swing to try and steal Bernie's voters to be the ultimate in socialist, and then she'll come back to the center Democrats and say, listen, I'm a moderate. Pay no attention to those left-wing things that I said. This is what you're getting with Hillary Clinton. More of the same. If you're looking for an outsider and you gotta vote Democrat, for crying out loud, throw your support to Bernie Sanders. At least he's an honest socialist, and you know what you're getting. With Hillary Clinton, you're getting more and more of the same old crony. And I don't even believe she's a progressive. I think all she really wants to do is make money for herself and cut more. All those deals that she cut at the State Department, that's all going to come out here. And I'm still hoping and believing that we're going to get some kind of an indictment before November on Hillary Clinton. These charges need to be brought, and the DOJ needs to do it. And Barack Obama, I wish you would listen to this show, because you know what? Bring those charges, because it's going to help you, Barack, and I hate to be selfish about it, but that's what would happen. It would help Barack and his post-presidential global fund if you could get rid of the Clinton Foundation, and that's one step toward doing it. But let's take another look. You got track four ready, Derek? This is Hillary talking about her emails.
Going through the emails, there were over 60,000 in total sent and received. About half were work-related and went to the State Department. And about half were personal, that were not in any way related to my work.
When you speak to the public, you say, I turned over everything. That's, for the most part, a direct quote. When you talk to the public, you say, I turned over everything.
90 to 95% of my work-related emails were in the state system. If they wanted to see them, they would certainly have been able to do so.
You know what? That is maybe the 10th time you have cited that figure today.
It is.
And I have not heard anyone other than you ever cite that figure. Who told you that 90 to 95% of your emails were in the State Department system? Who told you that?
We learned that from the State Department and their analysis of the emails that were already on the system.
The Inspector General report found that less than 1% of State Department emails, record emails, were captured. So they give a number of less than 1%, and you give a number of 90%.
I have absolute confidence that everything that could be in any way connected to work is now in the possession of the State Department.
This pile represents the emails that you sent or received about Libya in 2011, from February through December of 2011. This pile represents the emails you sent or received from early 2012 until the day of the attack. There are 795 emails in this pile. We've counted them. There are 67 emails in this pile in 2012. And I'm troubled by what I see here. I can only conclude by your own records that there was a lack of interest in Libya in 2012.
Okay. So the lies just keep on coming with this woman. She tells whatever she has to in order to please the crowd she's got at that time. All right, so we're wrapping up the show. Derek, how much time we got? 1 minute. So let me get the last sponsor in here. If you're looking for something to do tomorrow, go to the Links of Whitmore. It's one of the greatest golf courses in this area. May 22nd, that's Sunday. Tomorrow they're doing a couple scramble. You can go to the website, WhitmoreLakeGolfLinks.com, or you can call them 734-449-4653. That's the Links of Whitmore Golf Club. 734-449-4653, a great way to spend the day with your better half. It's a couple scramble tomorrow at the Links of Whitmore. All right, so that's it. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Send me those emails, Gary at thedailydrift.com, and we'll see you next week. Take care.